reading today is Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living Lord. Even the sparrow has found a home, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts in pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make in place of springs. The autumn rains over, cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in the Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look up on our shield. O God, look with favour on your anointed one. Better is one day in the courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk in the blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you, O God, who's mighty, a God who meets with us and a God who loves us. Pour your Holy Spirit out on us today, that we may hear from you. Amen. I'm going to suggest you kind of keep the reading in front of you, because I am going to kind of go through the little bits of what's said in this particular psalm. So I refer to bits of it all the time, so it'd be good if you had it in front of you just to see what I'm going on about, really. I particularly chose this psalm because it's really personally extremely special to me. It's actually the psalm that my mum quoted, read, and used in the last weeks of her life. And it helped her get through, and she had an incredible passing over to Jesus, can I say, is the only way I can put it, actually. And this psalm was really, really significant. The song we're going to sing later, actually, is we had her celebration of life. She wouldn't let me call it a funeral. It had to be a celebration of life. But it is an amazing, amazing psalm as we journey through life to challenge us and to make us think about how we are with God and who God is with us. It's referred to as a psalm about being a pilgrim. And we're going to have a little film clip later, which I think you're going to really enjoy. I thought it was really well done. Anyway, my mum, of course, was on a pilgrimage to the courts of praise forever when she was reading this. This psalm is crammed with a sense of hunger for God and a journey into rest. It's absolutely crammed with that kind of stuff. And we will at times in our life need to rest in the arms of Jesus. I don't know about you, but there are times when I just need to rest in the arms of Jesus. Time out with him. Really important, isn't it? It's more than needing to rest in God when things are going hard, though. It's more than that, isn't it? It is how we should spend our life, not just because we're having a hard time, but that's how we should spend our life, isn't it? Seeking to be a pilgrim, someone on a journey, hungry to know more of Jesus, being carried on our journey through life with him, by him, into that place of restoration. And place of restoration, we are continually being restored by God. Do you not know that? It's continual. As we walk our life, it's not a one-off. We meet Jesus, that's it. He walks with us and continues to restore us. So I think that's a great way, the commentary is putting this as a pilgrimage kind of psalm. It's a psalm of eternal hope. It's a psalm of seeking intimacy with God. Intimacy, wonderful word. It's deeper than just knowing, isn't it? It's really knowing. Here in this psalm, there is longing for God, deep longing for the place that the psalm writer knows is a place of restoration and a place of presence with the living, real God. Nothing like knowing Jesus, is there, in your life? Here in this psalm, we are met by a truth that is beyond all the pain that we experience in our life. Beyond that, that God wins. God wins. And we who know God through Jesus, as it says in the Gospel of John, he is the way, the truth, and the life, only through him. And in John 14, we are told that Jesus has gone before us to make a dwelling place. We win with Jesus. For us who choose him, there is a place beyond our wildest dreams. We only know this earth, but there is more. There is so much more. Psalm 84 is split into parts as well, so we're going to look at each of those parts. Verses 1 to 4 are about longing, longing. Verses 5 to 8 are about journeying. And verses 9 to 12 are about resting in God's place and belonging. So we see it sort of split up into different parts. So we're going to deal with each of those parts. So first of all, let's deal with verses 1 to 4, longing. Longing may be something you find quite easy to actually really identify with you. I don't know about you, but when you're in pain, when things are kind of wrong, we long for an end of it, don't we? We just want it to end when stuff is going wrong and when we're in pain. So that longing, that desire for things to just stop. When we are desperate, we long for an answer. Throughout our life, we long to belong. I don't know about you, but belonging is so important, isn't it? We belong to something. And that's why I think church is very important. It should be a place of belonging. You know, that wonderful, there's wonderful thing, isn't there? Belonging, believing, behaving. We want people to belong so that they then find Jesus and then we see their lives changed as they start to believe. Verse 1 doesn't just mean lovely, by the way, when it talks about lovely. It means beloved. It's a wonderful word, beloved. And it's about worship. It's how we should desire intimacy that comes with worship. We are beloved. We worship because we are beloved by God. It's a deeper thing than just being lovely. This kind of depth leads us to understand that we are beloved by God and we belong to him. We are his beloved. And verse 2 is not about how long we seek, but it's about with what intensity. Not just waiting and seeking, it's like intensely wanting to know God, seeking God intensely. For instance, where it mentions faint, it means to desire until we are exhausted. To really want it. Really, have you ever had that way? You've really desired something. You've almost exhausted yourself wanting it to happen, don't you? It's that kind of thing. It's like, I really want to meet with God. I really want to meet you with you. Jesus, I want to know you more. It's that kind of thing. Until I faint, I just want to know more of God. There's nothing better. And cry out means here to cry out in sorrow. I want to know you again, Jesus. I want to know more of you. It's nothing better. Come on. The soul, mentioned in verse 2, is the very core of the being. Here it means heart, body, and mind of the person. Every bit is the whole being that longs for God in this psalm. Can you see the intensity of it? Intensity of the desire of the psalm writer here to know God. The whole being longing for God. Not part of the person, not part of you, but the whole of you desiring God. Every moment and every motive here is about longing and knowing God, seeking his presence. And his presence is all that they want. His peace. It's an amazing psalm, isn't it? Of just needing and understanding how important God is in our life. Do you know that God is important in your life? Do you have that longing for him? That's what will make us different. And it mentions birds here, which is great for me, because as we know, I like birds. I've got a couple of budgies who are quite naughty, very naughty. But actually, I love watching those birds. They bring me a lot of peace. They're a lot noisy, but they also bring me a lot of peace, and they bring me a lot of joy. And actually here, when I looked up, it's probably mentioned because it's about bringing a sense of how God is with us in our weakness, particularly here where it's mentioned there. Birds are quite frail creatures. And here it's about being sensitive and delicate. The humble, delicate sparrow, in other words. God is in us in our vulnerability. The vulnerable swallow with our young. God meets us in weakness, not in strength, in our weaknesses. And so often we're frightened, aren't we, to show our weaknesses, but that's where God is, right in the middle of it. The longing for being in God's house here is also not limited to a place, but this is a longing to be in the presence of God. And it is in his presence where we find our home, not the other way around. You don't find your home and then bring God's presence. God's presence we have to find in us first. Then we find our home. He is our home, his presence, and the altar of God. The altar of God is a place that is safe. It's a place that that he lives with us. God lives with us in that place. And without God, there is nothing. This psalmist knew the importance of the presence of God, the importance of relationship with God, knew that nothing is better than that. Is that what we're like, I wonder? Is that what the church is like today? I do wonder sometimes. I don't mean just here, I'm just looking generally at the church, by the way. Do we desire God this way? Do I desire God this way? And what a difference if we did. It is possible that this psalm was sung when they went on pilgrimage, as they worshipped and as they hoped for the presence of God. And I thought there's something about this psalm, isn't there, where we could really just say, actually, let's go on a pilgrimage together as St. James Church here, desiring God in that way, desiring his presence, wanting to know him that way, crying out in sorrow, crying out, aching to know more of my Jesus. Just want to know him. Just want to know him more. And the next part of the psalm from verse 5 is encouraging us to journey. To journey. We are to journey to this place that is throughout throughout life, seeking God in every moment, not just now and again, but in every moment. It's again the presence of God in us as we journey that helps us to find our home in him. When we live in his presence, he gives us strength for the journey. He makes his permanent home with us. God lives in us. When you think about Romans, it very much talks about the Holy Spirit in us, walking with us. And here we are reminded that because of Jesus, nothing that comes against us can win. We journey with his power, his life in us. Because he died on the cross, he rose again, and once death is conquered, we, beyond the grave, have a dwelling place with him, which we walk towards, that lasts forever. This is a psalm of hope. This is an extraordinary psalm. This is an encouraging psalm. This is a psalm to live by, maybe one we should quote and talk about and think about as we walk together as God's people. And it talks about making it a place of springs. And it says in the psalm, as it says in the psalm there, it means God will provide all we need. God provides everything you need. He will. There is water. We will not be thirsty. God says, I am what you need. In me, you find everything. In here, we have a real relationship with a real God, the only God through Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's a reference there, isn't there, to the valley of the Baca in verse 6. And it actually means balsam trees, which that could have actually been an actual place in Samuel 2. But it means all the difficult times on the journey. God is with us in the difficult times of the journey, in other words. Place of battle. It's actually a valley of weeping. It's one of the definitions of it. But here, the psalmist is saying, God, whenever God is with you whenever it's tough. He's in the middle. He's not separate. He's in the middle of it. He's with you, walking that journey with you. And then verses 9 to 12. Resting. Resting. Here we can be sure of our King. King Jesus we have, don't we? Certain of our destination. Here we all, he will always be King. He'll never cease to be King. Jesus is certain. We can be certain of him. And God guarantees our joy and our freedom and our future in him. It's a guaranteed thing that we have a future in him. Jesus is our guarantee for the future. We are blessed. We can be secure in him, really secure in him. And there's a reference there, isn't there, to the Anointed One in verse 9. It's the one who is appointed by God. The one appointed by God. And the shield. The shield means he covers us and we are safe in him. You are safe in him. You are covered by him. The psalm writer knows that the best life is a life with God in it. Nothing can be better. Nothing can be better. Better one day with him than 1,000 separated from him. That's an amazing saying when you think about it, isn't it? Better that, to know him for one day, than to never know God in your life. He's our light, our shield. He protects, he guides, he loves us, he covers us. God gives to his people because we are his, and it is unconditional love. We walk his way. He embraces us into his presence forever. Amazing psalm. Amazing life with God. When we trust, we enter a place of grace. We get what we don't deserve. That's what grace is. We get something we don't deserve. We get it all. Do you not know that? Do you live that way? Do we live that way? Does the church live that way, knowing this? We get it all, every desire of our heart, eternal peace, hope for a future we cannot even imagine. Great psalm. But when I was reading this particular psalm, it did remind me, it probably reminded you, of the John Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress. For those who do not know the story, it's about Christian, and he takes his journey of life, and along the way he meets with different characters. He walks what he calls the King's Path, and as he walks the path, he keeps trusting, and at the end he finds his salvation. Wonderful, wonderful book, so go and read it and go and look at it. The thing is, whatever you carry, God is with you. God is with you in it all, at every turning point, every crossroad, and every moment of fear and loss. God is in it all. And this psalm makes it very clear that God is in it all. We are to seek him, to be desperate for him, but actually, in our desperation, he meets us. Where's your heart? Is it his? Do you give it all to him? Jesus walks with us. We can rest in his presence. So I want to kind of end this this particular sermon about this the psalm with actually a clip from a Pilgrim's Progress that's being made at the moment. I'd love to get the whole thing. It's in the progress being made. And I want to ask you to think perhaps about your own journey through life and think about this psalm. Think about what I've said about it. Think about what it means to you. The clip is called the Hill of Salvation. So I just want you to really just maybe challenged where you are on the road there. Are you a pilgrim? Are you journeying? Do you need rest? Do you desire God? Is your longing for God deep enough? So I'm just going to play that now. Thank you, Fiona. Hopefully. Thank you.
patience path. Passion passage. Which one?
Look, do not just
see. This doesn't make sense to me. But I have not gone wrong to follow the King's Road, no matter how difficult it may seem. I don't know how I will carry this burden up this narrow hill, but if I am to go forward, the King shall give me strength. He shall give me strength. And if he wills to ease my load, what? And if he wills to ease my load, then oh, joy! What am I nearing that my burden is finally being loosed? Oh, I was right to follow the King's path, for with each step, he is setting me free!
Something about that, I think, shows something in this psalm of that journey and that desperation, that hanging on, isn't there? That longing, that desire. And we meet, eventually reach the salvation and the court of praise. What else could we ever want than Jesus? To follow the King's road. And something in this psalm is about that, isn't there? So I just want us now just to praise and worship and seek God. So if you want us to stand if you can. I'm just going to pray and ask that the Holy Spirit really just releases in you anything that God has spoken to you about today and will put in us a longing and a desperation for God, for Jesus. That whatever hardships we carry, knowing that he's with us in it, whatever things are in our life that shouldn't be there, knowing that God will remove them if we press into him and if we desire him above everything else. Reminder that if you need personal ministry, there'll be people over here that will pray with you and do get prayed with as well. But I just want to just spend just a moment, just think for a moment, those things that you want to bring before God today that are in the way. Those times maybe when you're tempted to get off the King's Road, to not be a pilgrim, to not walk, desperately seeking Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, Fill each of us here with a longing for you, a desire for you, Jesus, a new desire for you. Speak to our hearts in power, that we will know that it is better to have one day with you than 1,000 anywhere else. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Break out in us revival, renewal, restoration, spirit of praise. Come, Holy Spirit. Have your way with us.